Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message. Thank you, Father God, for all that you're doing, all that you have done, for the testimonies today, and all the things that you have done in this place this morning and around the world. We are not unaware of the great things, the awesome things that you've started here this morning, you've completed here this morning, and all that you're about to do. And we thank you that today is going to be a great day, Father God, because you're in our lives, and no matter what happens, it is going to be awesome and amazing, because we thank you. You're our Savior. You're our lover. You are Father. We thank you in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. If you all could please get your Bibles if you have them. Oh, yeah. We need a Bibles today, folks. And open that up to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going from verse 24 down to 26. You're like, oh, man, I got to read today? Yes. Yes. And today's message title is Running in Victory. Running in Victory. When you're in Christ, everything you do is in victory. We already have the victory. We have the victory. We are running in victory. So, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 through 26. Hannah started out a few weeks ago, Lace Up series, Laced Up. I want to run into 2022 with my shoes laced tight. I want to run the race. I want to do all these great things. And I was like, oh man, I'm so excited. I'm sitting in that chair. I'm so excited. I want to lace up my shoes. I want to get ready to go. I want to run, do some things. And as I listen to these scriptures here, I'm like, God, what does that mean? What does that look like for us? What does that look like for us to do? Because I want to lace up my shoes. I want to do what you want me to do. I want to be obedient to the call that you have on me. So as I read this over and over again, he began to speak to me throughout the days. It says in verse 24, he says, Paul is speaking to the Corinthians here, and I'm going to tell you a story in a few minutes about why that is so important. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Cheaters never prosper. We don't run and cheat. We don't do those things. But we run in a way, a specific way, that we will win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. Then they do it to receive a perishable wreath. Remember the celery that she brought in? Perishable wreath. Thing's going to go rancid in a few days. It almost did when it was up here on the stage. They do so to receive a perishable wreath, but we, an imperishable one. Our wreath never fades. Right, Paul? Our wreath never fades. It never goes bad. So for that to be true, we have to run in such a way that we can receive this wreath that never is going to go bad. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that I'm doing it, that you're doing it. So what does that mean? And here in verse 26, as I read this over, it says, therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim, and I box in such a way as not beating the air. He means he's running a specific race. He's doing it for a specific reason. He's not just tying up his shoes and running out the door, just running this way or this way or this way. He's got a specific race in mind. He's got a specific purpose that he is running for. So as I thought about that, God, what is my purpose? What am I supposed to do, you know, especially running into 2022? And he started speaking to me. And one of the first things he said to me is, dare to dream again. Dare to dream again. There are some in this room who hear those words from Hannah, who heard those words and see those words in the Bible, and you want nothing more in life than to run that race. So I was asking God, what does it mean? And he's like, dare to dream again. And as I was thinking about this last night, he just spoke to me about daring to have an adventure with me again. As Christians, our lives should never be dull. It's an adventure. It's the greatest adventure. Our adventure is the greatest when we're in intimate relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our lives should be waking up every morning saying, yes, I get to be with you this morning, God. I get to spend time with you this morning, Jesus. I get to be intimate with you. I get to see you. I get to feel you. I get to touch you. You get to speak to me, and we can run together. And we know this run from that we have in this life is a marathon. It's not a sprint. And to know that it's a marathon is so important. And this is one of the stories I want to tell you. The true story of the first marathon. This is an incredible story. Back in Greece, in the year 490 BC, the Athenians were going to be attacked by the Persians. And the only beach that could house the Persians, because there was 25,000, and the Athenians knew they were coming. They knew they had this many, but the Athenians didn't have that many. They only had 10,000 soldiers. But they knew that they had to come to this one beach because it's the only one that could hold the amount of soldiers that the Persians were sending. And this beach was in a town called Marathon. That's where we get the name from. But when the Greeks knew that they had to go fight, so they had to go and they went to this beach and they were waiting for the Persians and they knew they were outnumbered 2-1. And they start fighting. Bam, bam, bam. There's no way they could win. No way. Outnumbered, outclassed, out all things. But they get the victory in the end. And this one guy, I think his name is Polypides, Greek name, very hard to say. He's famous from running from Marathon to Athens, which is 25 miles. He runs that distance and comes into Athens, and he goes to the leaders, and he says, victory! We have victory! Then he dies. But that's not where it ends. That's not where it ends. That right there may have happened, may not have happened, but the story is even cooler than that, the real story. They did have the victory, and we do have the victory. We, too, have this victory. And one of our missions in life is to go into the world and proclaim victory, victory. But the real cool story about this is this guy who ran that marathon distance, in all reality, ran 150 miles from Athens to Sparta. And the reason he did that was they knew they didn't have enough soldiers to fight this battle. So somebody had to run and tell the Spartans and to ask them to help them. So he runs all the way to Sparta, which is 150 miles away, which is important because Sparta is in the isthmus, the peninsula of Corinth, where we get this story. So these people would have known. Paul starts talking about this. They know about this running thing. They know why it's important. They know why there's a purpose. So this guy runs from Athens to Sparta. He tells them what's going to happen. They're like, we want to fight with you, but we got this religious thing going on, so we can't do it right away. We got to wait 6 days until the new moon. And he's like, okay. So now I got to run all the way back to Athens to tell him we're not going to get any help right away. So he runs all the way back to Athens, 150 miles in 2 days, and says, they're not going to be here. But then they go and fight this battle and win. Running in victory. There's a purpose to why we run. So it's very vitally important to go to God and ask him about the race that he wants you to run in your life as a whole and also this year specifically. Because not only do you need to run it for yourself, but when you're running the race that God has set before you, it helps others run the race they have for themselves. And now I'm going to go over to Hannah, but just real quick as I transition over to her. As I was praying about this, God, what do you have for me? And what would hinder, because as I think about this, I think about all of us in here and preaching to you guys. And he says, one of the hindrances that keep us from running the race that God has for us, and one of the biggest ones, is fear. Fear keeps me in a place where I dare not go to God to find out what he has because I'm scared of him. Or I dare not step out in faith because of what happened to me in the past. Or I dare not go out into the future because something bad's going to happen because it happened back then. Fear inhibits us from running the race that we have that's with God. And now, Hannah.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, I've got a lot of notes, which I'll maybe go into more next week. But we were going to look at the story in 1 Kings 17 of Elijah and the widow. And I encourage you, get into that this week in your own Bible study time, because we won't have time to read it all right now. But in 1 Kings 17, Elijah he's hungry and thirsty, and he finds a widow, and he asks the widow for some bread, just kind of like I was asking for some bread for communion. I don't know who heard, but Brian and I forgot the loaf of bread at home. And so I was like, who has a loaf of bread, right? So I didn't realize I was prophetically reading out Elijah and the widow, right? But anyway, the widow says, I'll read it here. As surely as the Lord your God lives, she replied, I don't have any bread, only a handful of flour in a jar and a little olive oil in a jug. I am gathering a few sticks to take home and make a meal for myself and my son that we may eat it and die. Elijah said to her, don't be afraid. Everyone say, don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
Go home and do as you have said. But first, everyone say first.
First.
Just kind of like what Paul was talking about. First, give it to God, right? But first, make a small loaf of bread for me from what you have and bring it to me, and then make something for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord says. The jar of flour will not be used up, and the jug of oil will not run dry until the day the Lord sends rain on the land. So she could have more food. She went away and did as Elijah had told her. So there was food every day. Say every day.
Every day.
And so going along with what Pastor Caleb was talking about, running to win in victory. And have you ever gotten stumped by like, what is my purpose this year? Before I was a pastor, I was doing more life coaching, and it was all about discovering your purpose and your destiny in Jesus, which is fantastic. It's very important. But I think sometimes we get a little bit complicated, or we think it's out here fuzzy and we'll never attain it, when God's a very practical, down to earth God. And so I want to give us just real quick in the next just few minutes here, three ways that we can actually run in victory. So everyone say past,
present,
and future. Right now, I was going to put chairs up here, but there's just no space. But imagine your past is over here. Sorry, this side of the church, right? Your present is here and your future is here. When Elijah said, make me the bread, and the widow said, I don't have anything. He said, just give it to me anyway, right? Make the loaf from what you think you don't have, and then you will never run dry. And so I want to share today that when we give to God what we think isn't much, he writes a testimony in our lives, and he gives us purpose, and he gives us provision, right? He gives us freedom from addiction, or he gives us salvation, just like the testimonies that we heard. When we give God our past, our present, and our future, this might seem like a very simple message this morning, but I think it's okay to be simple, because at the heart of the gospel, it's simple, but it doesn't mean it's not powerful, right? If it was any more complicated, I think we really would be lost, because let's just be honest, we're still sometimes stuck in the simple parts of the gospel and putting it into our lives. But I want to talk about our past for just one second here. Our past carries the testimonies needed for today's victories, right? Those rocks on the back wall, one of them said freedom from addiction, one of them said salvation, one of them said provision. Those were victories from the past. I don't know who wrote them, but some of the same testimonies were repeated here this morning, right? And so those are victories that we can carry in to our present day battles. But if our past is stuck in regret, then we are actually giving our past to the enemy, and we aren't giving our past to God so he can show us his victory and his value. Are you guys tracking with me? You know, Gideon was fearful. Rahab was a prostitute. David had an affair. Elijah was deeply depressed. Moses killed someone. Esther was an orphan. Saul was a terrorist to Christians. These are all incredible Bible heroes that we love to put up and say, I want to be like them, or I want to be like them, or teach in our Sunday school classes if you were a child or have a child. But every single one of these Bible characters had a choice that really defined whether they were going to be a Bible hero or someone that was forgotten about in history because they couldn't get out of their past. And it was, did they live in regret, or did they let God's victory and value redeem their past? Does that make sense? Regret is to imagine your past without victory or value. Regret is to imagine your past without victory or value. And it really is, it's almost like saying to Jesus, you know, Jesus, your salvation is good enough to get me into heaven, but your salvation isn't good enough to redeem my past. Mm. That's what we say when we actually say that we're giving our past to regret. Now, I'm not saying that it's wrong to acknowledge maybe a past mistake or to work through trauma. That's not what I'm saying. But there's a big difference between regret and repentance, because repentance is turning from something to God, right? Repentance means to change your mind. Regret is actually focusing on what happened and saying there is no value, there is no redemption, and there is no victory in Jesus that could possibly come from this situation. And so if we give our past to regret, it's like we're saying, Jesus, your salvation is just good enough to get into heaven, but not good enough for heaven to invade earth in my past. Are you guys following? And so when Pastor Caleb says to run in victory, as he awkwardly stands there, sorry, we're going to have to figure out something better to do when we're preaching together. But when Pastor Caleb says to run with purpose or to run in victory, there's a part of each one of our purposes in 2022 that might even be locked up in regret that God wants to set you free from if you'll invite him into your past to show you the value, to show you the victory. And of course, this is in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good for those who love God. In other words, God wastes nothing. He gets you ready, right? Just say, God wastes nothing.
God wastes nothing.
Come on, say it like we mean it. God wastes nothing. Try it one more time. God wastes nothing. That changes everything. And so if we're living in our past, then we're trying to be present with each other, but our heads are stuck in regret. And the problem is, if we can't invite God's victory into our past, then we're not actually able to be present with God currently. And our past is where our testimonies have been written for our present day battles. So there are testimonies locked up in regret when God wants to release his salvation, his redemption, his victory, his value over our lives, so that the battles we face today, we are prepared for. Does that make sense? This is so important. Mm-hmm. Amen. That's a scripture I looked at for this. Amen. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Luke 19:20. That word save is sozo, right? It means heal, save, preserve, rescue, make whole. So God came to make us whole from our past so that we could live in the present. So number two, everyone say number two.
Number two.
And don't worry, I don't have many more points here. But in number two is the present. Psalm 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, a good memory of help in trouble. Is that right? Does anybody have their Bible this morning? Is that a good translation, or should I go shopping again? Shopping again? Okay. How about God is our refuge and strength, a promise of help in trouble? No, is that still a bad translation? I got to get a better Bible, y'all. This one might be the right one. God is our refuge and strength, a very
present
help in trouble. I think a lot of times we live our lives like God is a refuge and strength, a good memory of help. Mm-hmm. Have you ever just been caught up in the memory of when God was good, of when there was a good time, when God is saying he wants to be here in the now, in our trouble, right? God is our safe place. It says that word present means to find. That means right here, we can find God. Just say, I can find God here.
I can find
God. I can find God here. But here's the problem. You won't find God here if you aren't here, right? If you're stuck in the past, you're going to have a hard time finding God in the present. But also, if you're stuck in comparison, right? Comparison is like trying to live with Jesus without being there, right? If I'm constantly comparing my life to somebody else's or my situation to somebody else's, it's like I'm checking out of reality. Have you ever tried to check out of reality? Maybe it's with drugs or with an addiction, but maybe it's also just more hidden and it's just by, you know, zoning out on social or on TV or whatever it is your escape. And the problem is comparison will rob us of the present moment Jesus died to give us to be with him. So if we're stuck in our past in regret, then we're stuck without God's victory. And if we're stuck in comparison, then we're not actually living in the moment Jesus died to give us. So in order for us to run with purpose and to run with victory, God wants to set you free from regret today so you can see the testimonies that he has written in your life. But also, he wants to set you free from comparison so that you can live in the moment with God, writing the testimonies he is writing even right now this morning. Are you guys tracking with me? And this ends with the future, which is what Pastor Caleb had talked about with not being afraid, right? To imagine your future without God, that's fear, right? Mm-hmm. To regret is to imagine your past without God's value or victory. But you can also imagine your future without God. And God wants to set us free this morning to not be stuck in the past in regret, to not be stuck apart from ourselves in the present, but to be present with God and not be stuck afraid of the future, but to actually be seeing God in our future so that we can run with purpose with what he has armed us with from the past, the present, and the future. Does that make sense? I hope it's a visual. So if you can just stand on your feet this morning, we're going to end here. Pastor Caleb, did you have any other thoughts before we close out?
Yes, but...
I know. I'll fight you for the last time.
just to say that what she's talking about, the past, the present, and the future, next week when she gets into the story about this woman who was going through those things, her past said that she was a widow. Her future said that she was about to die with her son. But later on, when Elijah speaks to her and he's like, "Fear not," then she does what God has commanded her to do. And sometimes for us to get over our past is to trust in that moment what God is telling you to do. Sometimes it takes that moment of bravery to step over the chicken wire, as we call it, the chicken line, and to step over there and say, "God, by faith, I'm going to do this. I know what happened to me in the past. I know what I'm feeling right here in the present. But I know that you're with me in the future. So I'm going to take that first step and walk in this with you." And that's just a little bit of what gets us beyond our past, but go and makes us so we can go from this present time to look forward to our future. That's what God wants us to do as we lace up our shoes and we spend time with him, is to look forward to about what he's going to do, because greater things have yet to come, and our days are better before us than they were behind. And that's what we got to do. We got to walk in that belief, knowing that God is good, knowing he's got a great and awesome future for us all, and that he loves us dearly, and to walk in that and trust in that with all our hearts. So amen. Thank you all.
Yeah, that's good. So Jesus, right now we just invite you to bring to mind any regrets that some of us have been caught up in. God, I thank you right now that you, even this week, as we're living out our life, God, that Absolutely. Any regrets that have caught us up in our past, or any comparison that has caught us up from living in the present and missing the provision for the present, just like the widow and Elijah, God, or any area where we have been imagining our future without you in it. God, I thank you for showing us those areas and releasing your breakthrough, that we would receive your love into those areas, because it is your love that transforms us. It's nothing we can do. So thank you for your love covering our past, present, and future, God, so that we can run with purpose. We can run in victory. We can dare to dream again, not because we should, but because you are redeeming all things with your love so that we can. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.